It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve their salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible, they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck.
Of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Fringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said, "By the power of Grayskull,
to the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man. Anyways, I bet you all wonder where my nickname came from, and today we're going to find out not only the origins of my nickname, which we'll discuss pretty quick, we're also going to discuss this fucking horrible film, Masters of the Universe, made in 1987. It is a fucking epitome and total garbage compared to the fucking awesomeness of He-Man. Like, back in 1983 to 1985, and the TV series was just such a hit that actually it was shown on television even longer than that on, like, USA and stuff with all the Christmas specials. So, I mean, for a series that only lasted about a couple of years, it sure as hell had a long-lasting legacy on the types of toys we see today, and even more so just the fact that He-Man was just such a vital part of our society in the 1980s. Whenever you talked about He-Man, you know who the fuck you were talking about. You didn't want to mess with He-Man because he will fuck you up. And not to mention his cat, Frasier, who I have a toy of still to this day, and it's kind of funny because that could probably go for about $100 these days on eBay. You get one of those nerds that are like obsessed with all those toys, and they'll probably buy it for $100. Some dipshit would, I bet. So, but I will never trade in Frasier. Frasier is my boy. I mean, fuck He-Man. I love fucking Frasier. That damn animal would tear the shit out of people. They always kick the shit out of Skeletor in almost every battle. So, I mean, you know, Frasier's a fucking beast. With that said, getting into the origin of my nickname, the real origin, well, of course, my first name's Adam, so, of course, like He-Man, his name was Adam. So, what's funny is, the last name of mine is Z for Zelensky. Well, hence the name Z-Man. Someone came up with it in about fourth grade and just came up with that idea. So, with that said, enough about my origins and my nicknames and such. You want to hear about He-Man, don't you? Well, The reasoning behind picking this film is for another reason as well. So many people are, you know, talking about Batman and, you know, Superman and, you know, all these other figureheads of heroes, but we kind of forget about He-Man. You know, he was had such a huge impact. You know, actually, to me, he was pretty much bigger than what Superman even was. You know, I mean, you mentioned the word He-Man, and everybody knows what the hell you're talking about. I mean, you can probably go up to any old Joe on the street, you know, it's about 20 years or older, and mention the name He-Man, and they will definitely know what you're talking about. I mean, He-Man was fucking shit. He-Man ruled the world. So, getting into the movie, Dolph Lundgren was chosen in 1987 to be the lead role actor in this film, and, you know, it's kind of funny. When I first heard about this movie as a little kid, I jumped for joy looking at the previews and everything. I'm like, this movie's gonna be awesome, Mommy! That's exactly how I said it, too. Little kid's voice, you know. Couldn't enunciate very well when I was about 4 or 5, so leave me alone. Anyways, my mom, you know, was like, "You sure you really want to go see this film?" She's like, "I'm not sure that the dude from Rocky IV is really going to live up to the hype in this film." And, of course, you know, being me, I was like, "I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go see He-Man, damn it." So, going to the movie theaters, you know, and I watched this film, you know, and I got the same response. And to this day, I still get the same response from people. Love the TV series, so I had to go see the movie. And you know what? I fucking hated the movie. Like, and it's the same response from everybody. I mean, you ask anybody, and they really hate this fucking movie. But why was it so bad? I mean, like, it was He-Man, you know, in a movie. I mean, it didn't matter who the fuck was playing He-Man. I mean, you know, you could probably have, like, any old Joe off the street play He-Man, and somebody would want to go see this movie, you know? So, why was it that this movie failed? Well, it certainly wasn't because of Dolph Lundgren. although, there is some speculation about this. In order to break the Cold War, I actually did some research on this. Hollywood kind of dawned on the idea to make Dolph Lundgren, you know, a big-name actor, so they inherited him. So, what they did was they had him kind of in Rocky IV to give him a test drive as the villain, and they decided, hey, maybe this guy does have some acting talent, and you know what? It'd be the perfect way to kind of show that, you know, as far as U.S. movies are concerned, we're done with the Cold War, so we don't discriminate against communists in Russia. So, the idea to have Dolph Lundgren in this film wasn't such a bad idea. I mean, he kind of fit the prototype for He-Man, kind of stock character. Doesn't really say too much, and if anything comes out of his mouth, it's about, you know, as dry as a wax museum. So, I mean, you know, nothing really you can say too much about Dolph Lundgren, except that he definitely fit the prototype for He-Man. Honestly, it's kind of sad, though, because when you think about Dolph, you just still think about the Russian, you know, the tall Russian guy from, you know, Drago from Rocky IV. So, I guess maybe that is another factor that went into this film is why it failed. Pretty much just because we just had that, you know, stamped into our minds that image of Dolph Lundgren is always going to be Drago, the evil Drago, and how can he be a true hero when he's definitely edged in our minds as a villain? It's kind of hard. So, with that said, one of the fucking most notable things in this movie that pisses me off beyond belief is the fact that Frasier the Tiger is not in this film. No Frasier. Now, I didn't know about that until, like, I had to tug on my mom's shirt saying, "Where's Frasier, Mommy? Where's Frasier?" And my mom told me, she's like, "Son, I hate to disappoint you, but he is not in this film. I don't know where he is." You're fucking kidding me. This dipshit director that had all this money towards this film, and I checked out the budget on this film. It was about, $10 to $12 million budget on this film, which in 1980s, that equivalency pretty much comes to about, $30 to $40 million budget. I mean, come on. You've got to be kidding me. You had that much money, and you couldn't fucking find a tiger from, a circus or Barnum and Bailey. Like, Barnum and Bailey couldn't allow you to rent a tiger from them, just so you could have it play as Frasier. Unfucking believable. And then another reason why this, film failed is because of the lack of stars. Dolph Lundgren and Courtney Cox. That was it. Like, these other people, I mean, some of them are kind of rising stars today, I guess, but back then, they were just a bunch of fucking average Joes off the street, I mean, nothing real special about who's in this, so, like, how can the movie succeed? I mean, it's supposed to be He-Man, for Christ's sake, a big fucking blockbuster film, and you're telling me you can only give me, Dolph Lundgren and Courtney Cox, that's the best you can come up with for acting? You have got to be fucking kidding me. So, with that said, I was really disappointed with the cast and the characters in this film. And also, Skeletor. Skeletor looks like fucking styrofoam poor. It looks like his face looks like someone took a, fire extinguisher and, blasted him in the face. Fire department probably came in from the, L.A. fire department probably came in and just, blasted his face with, a fire extinguisher, and the result of making this film. So, that's probably, one of the, makeup designs that, quick, hurry up. Call the fire department. We gotta make this film, and we gotta blast Skeletor in the face so he looks like Skeletor. I mean, honestly. Or maybe this happened. Maybe they took marshmallow cream, the kind, you get from the can, the jar, from Kraft, and, maybe they just started, had one of the costume artists, hurry up and, get one of those, popsicle sticks, with paste, and, fucking paste his face with this marshmallow cream, or a third thing could have happened with Skeletor, and this is another theory. Maybe real quick, when the Ghostbusters were around, because if you remember right, they kind of do, use a He-Man reference when the kids are jumping around at the party, in Ghostbusters 2 with the little kids. And they start chanting, "He-Man, He-Man." It's actually kind of funny. So, maybe this happened. Maybe they decided to, hurry up and put Skeletor in the film of Ghostbusters 1 and, throw him into the pit of the Marshmallow Man. Okay, Marshmallow Man didn't have tits, but it sure as hell looks like it when... I mean, how can you tell he didn't have tits when he was that bit fucking fat? Or maybe he just got stuffed in one of his rolls or something, of his, stomach. Kind of went... took his big face and just kind of smashed it in there, I'm telling you, his face looks like a fucking disaster. I mean, it's awful. It doesn't even look like Skeletor. And what's up with the fangs? Skeletor doesn't have fangs. He has even teeth. It looks like doggy teeth or something. Or Dracula teeth. He's not fucking Dracula. Skeletor had even teeth. That's what made him funny, because he could, make, normal, teeth grinning sounds like... you know, kind of like that when he was smiling a lot, you know. It was actually kind of funny. He'd make normal skull sounds, so that's what made him Skeletor. So I didn't really agree at all with, you know, the way they created Skeletor. They made him look like shit. Anyways, with that said, we'll get into the plot, and we'll just cover some background, because it's a really long and confusing movie, and I'm honestly just fucking bored with this film. Like, honestly, I'd rather have a Jehovah Witness door-to-door, you know, Bible pusher come to my door and talk to me for about 2 fucking hours about the Jehovah religion, rather than, you know, really watch this film. I mean, or, you know, one of those vacuum cleaning salesmen come over to my door and, you know, talk about vacuums all day. You don't know. You don't even want to know how fucking boring that is. Long story. Won't get into it. So, with that said, let's go ahead and kind of bring out some of the cast, more of the cast and characters. First, we have Frank Langella, who plays Skeletor. And then, of course, we have Dolph Lundgren, who I already mentioned as He-Man. Then, we have Skeletor's evil assistant, Evil-Lyn, played by Meg Foster. It did all right. You know, I was actually kind of surprised at the way... I think they what happened was this. They spent so much time on Evil-Lyn, and then the sorceress of the Castle Grayskull, Christina Pickles. I think they spent so much time on their costumes because, I mean, the sorceress looks fucking awesome. Like, she has, like, a chandelier on her head. It looks pretty fucking cool, honestly, I thought. You know, that's actually one of the, you know, positives in this film, if there are any. You know, her headpiece just looks awesome. I mean, like, it really looks like a fucking chandelier. So what they did was, they probably put a chandelier on top of her head as a headpiece. Just pointing that out. And I was being sarcastic when I said they did a really good fucking job with Christina Pickles. I mean, let's be real. They definitely stuck a fucking chandelier on her head. So, with that said, no, honestly, though, I really feel that they did a really good job with Evil-Lyn. She definitely looked and fit the prototype for Skeletor's evil assistant. And then, Gilbor, this fucking annoying piece of shit elf that they ripped right off of Legend. I mean, the, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, completely uncreative and, like, you know, or have something similar to something, you know, but no, I'm dead serious. You watch Legend and then you watch this film. They ripped that fucking costume right off of Legend and put it in this film for the same exact guy, the same exact actor, and the fucking same exact costume. So, you're completely confused, and, again, like I was saying, like, Gildor is the Thedarian locksmith, okay? Now, in Legend, he actually, I believe, plays a locksmith in Legend as well. So, you're telling me that this same actor and this same fucking costume, you know, are in two movies at once. It's just, you know, like, how could you do that? Like, how could you steal something like that? It just doesn't make any sense. And not to mention, Legend's a pretty, kind of a shady movie to begin with. I mean, it's not shitty, but it's not really that good either. I can't say that, but, you know, for what it's worth, it is probably one of Tom Cruise's better films. So, with that said, I mean, I was literally appalled by that. You know, that really pissed me off, and let it be the tone for how pissed off I am when it comes to Masters of the fucking Universe, more like the masters of fucking disastrous films. Anyways, Courtney Cox plays Julie Winston, and then Kevin, Julie's boyfriend, Kevin Corrigan, is played by Robert Duncan McNeil. And it's kind of funny because I just mentioned that now we get a character named Duncan, Man at Arms. That's who he's really called, Man at Arms. And he was in the television TV series, John Cypher. And then Taylor is played by Chelsea Field, Man at Arms' kind of daughter, I'm guessing. And then James Tolkien, who plays, like, I swear, a detective in, like, every movie possible. Either a detective or a gym coach. If you remember, he was on Family Matters a long time back in the, or not Family Matters, Wonder Years as the gym coach, sort of like. And I believe he did make an appearance on Family Matters. I did some research on that. I'll have to check up on that again. But he's been a cop in, like, so many different movies. It's just almost unbearable to watch anymore. So, then another notable person again is Christina Pickles, Sorceress of Castle Grayskull. And then you have Tony Carroll as Beastman, and Paris Mard as Sarod, and then Anthony D. Loganis as Blade. Blade's actually kind of a cool character. He looks like a badass. And then you have Robert Towers as Karg, and then you have Barry Livingston as Charlie. So with that said, let's get to the plot. A plot's like this. Pretty much at the start of the film, they're at Castle of Grayskull, and they're duking it out between two forces. He-Man, Tila, and Man-at-Arms against the evil forces of Evelyn and Skeletor. So Skeletor sends his men after He-Man. They're kind of searching for him and everything, and sure enough, he already has the sorceress in captivity. So his idea, Skeletor's idea, is to capture He-Man to get his sword so that he can stick it in this goofy-looking Chinese, you know, ancient Chinese chair to, like, rule all universes all across. And so he wants to rule the entire universe, and he wants He-Man's sword, and he wants He-Man to, like, kneel down to him. Like, this is like his sexual obsession or something, if you want to make it that. Sometimes it's kind of funny. Like, I want him to kneel down to me. Like, you swear he gets off by it. Like, you know, like, what does he want him to do? Kneel down and suck his dick? I mean, come on. Fucking horrible. So, and it was like that the entire time in the cartoon, too, and, you know, some sexual references have been made constantly about He-Man, whether He-Man was gay or not, but that remains to be seen, and I wish to not answer that, because I don't have that answer. So, they're firing back and forth, and they're really, again, getting nowhere with this battle, until He-Man and Man of Arms actually help Tila out of captivity, and then lo and behold, they find Gildor, the Thedorian locksmith. So Gildor, the Thedorian locksmith, is, like, you know, gracious for them, letting them go, and he kind of helps them out and says, listen, the reason why Skeletor got the jump on you know, your crew is simply just because that with the coordinates of this special lockgate key, it helps, it's kind of like a GPS navigator, if you want to call it that. And there's a lot of GPS navigation going on in this. It's kind of odd, like locators and shit that go on in this film. So, anyways, it's like a, it's a little device that helps you lock other portals. So, how Skeletor got the drop on him was that they just found their coordinates using the lockgate key, and they got the drop on him. And he was, the fucking idiot, Gildor, was stupid enough to give it to Evelyn, which makes no sense. I mean, that's just like me, I mean, going up to a real nice hot girl and just handing her the fucking keys to a Ferrari like a total fucking moron. You know, here you go. I don't even know you, but you're hot. So, it's in my, you know, it's in my blood because I'm a real nice guy. Here you go. Here's a fucking free Ferrari. You can take my Ferrari and leave. I mean, what an idiot. So, that's kind of illogical, and that's another, we'll talk about more illogical points as we go on with this review. And so after that, they're, you know, the three of them are really pissed off at Gildor, and Teela keeps calling him a piece of scum. And it's kind of funny because, you know, Gildor is about as annoying as Jar Jar Binks was in Star Wars Episode 1. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, honestly, with Gildor, I'd fucking rather, you know, hang out with, like, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer for 2 hours than fucking hang around Gildor, you know, or Mike Tyson. I'd rather buddy up with Mike Tyson than this annoying piece of shit. I'd rather fucking be friends with Saddam Hussein than fucking be friends with Gildor. Gildor is a total numbnut, and I fucking hate him. And that, it's bullshit that he took the place of, that, this is what happened. They couldn't find a way to, like, make up Orko. Like, it was so hard to come up with that idea. You know, I mean, all they had to do was have it be a puppet who floats around in the sky the entire time. I mean, was it that fucking hard to accomplish? I mean, I know the dude has no legs, so maybe that's why it was difficult, but it wasn't as difficult as it seemed to make Orko. I mean, instead, no, make way for a ripped-off dude off a fucking legend that would stick in this film just to annoy you, just to piss you off even more and feel like a jackass for spending the money to go see this film. So, with that said, they find out about the lock key, and they're like, well, can, you know, they figure out, can you get us the, you know, the Grayskull, can you get us the Grayskull Castle? He's like, yes, I can. So, he punches in the coordinates, they show up, you know, they get the shit kicked out of them, kind of, by Skeletor, initially. But they manage to escape, and they unfortunately have to leave the sorceress there for, you know, at the mercy of Skeletor. So, out of all the digits to punch in, he could have picked any fucking planet. He just randomly punches in some planet, and sure enough, lo and behold, by fucking coincidence, it's Earth. There is no fucking way. With all the planets out there and all the universes, if you believe there are other alternate universes out there, you're telling me this fucking moron just decided to punch in the coordinates for Earth. He randomly punched it in. He's like, and the funny part is, they don't even know where they're at. Like, they've acted like they've never heard of Earth before. So, that's actually kind of funny in itself. I find that completely hard to, too hard to believe, and too much of a coincidence to believe, that with all the different, like, you know, sequences of songs he could have played on this little lockgate key, because that's what it does. It's really hard to and complicated to figure out, but just follow me. With this lockgate key, you can play any song that you want. It's kind of like a, it's almost, I don't want to call it a music synthesizer, because eventually we're going to get to that topic in a little bit. But I would like to call it almost like a sound recorder, and it runs off of sound waves. And the waves in the song actually kind of take you into alternate universes. And consider it if you've ever played the game Zelda Twilight Princess, and you have a wolf, and you have to play a certain sequence of songs in order to get, you know, what you want, or in order to take you to certain sectors to be warped somewhere else. Or maybe like on Mario Brothers 3, it's kind of like having the flute, you know, and you play like a certain song and it takes you to a different warp zone. So it's kind of like that. Well, he plays the song, it takes him to Earth, and they wind up in the fucking marshes of, apparently, I'm guessing, like, some hick town. You're not really sure where on Earth they landed, but sure enough, they landed, and this is how it starts. Well, Courtney Cox is at some, Goodard's, or something weird like that, some fast food joint with roller skates, kind of like, ending of the 1960s era of fast food restaurants, because even in the 80s, believe it or not, they had Wendy's where down in Texas, where you could roller skate around and get your food that way with chicks and roller skates. So she was working at a fast food restaurant, and she's talking to her one girl as a friend, and sure enough, I swear, I kid you not, I will have to do research on this later on, but I swear, the girl that she's talking to looks exactly like the woman that played Sarah Connor in The Terminator. Exactly like her. I'm not so sure, and I'm not willing to say that that is Sarah Connor, but it's pretty fucking close. So, anyways, she's talking to her and everything, and you learn about, Julie's parents and why she's moving to New Jersey. Well, her parents died in a plane crash, and therefore she's kind of like running away from her problems. Well, you meet eventually her boyfriend Kevin, who comes and picks her up, and it's kind of like their last day together. So he kind of gets pissed off when he brings her a bucket full of ribs. You know, barbecue ribs. I'm sorry, if I had a hot chick like Courtney Cox give me some barbecue ribs, I would not be an asshole and be like, that's it for a last date? I'd be like, thanks, babe. I'm gonna bang you in my fucking van. That's what I'd be like. So, I think that Kevin guy's a little unappreciative of Courtney Cox to begin the movie. I mean, Julie. I think he's really unappreciative of what Julie's trying to do for him. So, anyways, like I was saying, she gets free food all the time, too. So, I mean, how could you go wrong? Free fast food? Fuck, I'd take that in an instant. And so they're kind of eating dinner, and they go out to the graveyard of where her parents are at, and she's just a normal kid would when their parents would die. You know, it was all my fault and blah, blah, blah. But the stupid thing is, it's not so much, this scene. I mean, it's pretty typical, to blame yourself over something. So I was okay with that scene. No, the problem in the scene comes where it's like kind of like a fake cry. Like, she's not even like really emotional about it. She lacks, like, total emotional pivity, like, no femininity at all. Like, a woman normally, like, bawls her eyes out. She's not even doing that. She just kind of, like, hugs him and smiles about it. I don't know. I mean, I would really, like to venture, like, why that was such a poor acting job, on her part. I mean, come on, wouldn't you like to see her sell it a little bit better? Like, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I was a director, I'd be like, fucking cut, and we're doing that again. So, anyways, in that scene, I just thought that was a little retarded. Well, after that, they find this, like, music synthesizer is what they believe. Okay, they find this, the lockgate key, like, in this ditch, and apparently they figure out it fell from the sky. They had figured that out, okay? Here's what Kevin says. Kevin says this when he finds it. He's like, where did this come from, do you think? And Julie goes, I don't know. Kevin goes, I bet it fell from the sky because of how huge the hole is here. And he's like, I bet it's a music synthesizer. Now, whoa, right there. A music synthesizer. You mean to tell me that in this film, that is one of the dumbest lines ever. I bet it's a music synthesizer. Yeah, if it fell from the sky, it's probably an alien, you know, life form, correct? Like an or something alien, the object alien of some sort, you know, it's from an alien, or it's from a spaceship. I would be guessing that it was a fucking spaceship part, or something that had to do with an alien ship. Out of all the things, why the fuck would you think it's a normal music synthesizer? Like, what do the aliens do up there? Do they play in outer space, like, music all night and stuff? Is that what they do? I'm willing to guess they don't do that. A fucking retarded line in a movie. What a fucking dumb-ass idea. So, this kid is just beyond a fucking asshole. And logic. I mean, completely illogical throughout this film. It just keeps getting worse with the logic. So, after that, they kind of go and they kind of, they pick it up and everything, and sure enough, who shows up but, you know, He-Man and his friends, and they were right around where it was at, and it's kind of funny because they're at the restaurant, and they're, what the fuck are they doing? They're eating food. Now, He-Man's ventured off somewhere else, but Tila, Man of Arms, and Gildor eating fucking chicken, and Tila goes, you mean this is from another animal? Give me a break. You already like the... See, this is my pet peeve. I really hate when people eat something, and they're eating it, and they like it, and then you tell them what it is, and they go, like, that's me. I mean, it's just fucking stupid. Like, it's almost like telling a five-year-old, like, you know that pudding you're eating? Well, it was made out of milk, and you know where milk comes from? Cows. Like, I hate when people do that. It's just one of my pet peeves. Sorry, I had to point that out. With that said, Kevin wants to bring this music synthesizer and test it out at his sound check for the, at the high school. Apparently, he's playing for some dance, I'm guessing the prom. Well, sure enough, here's another fucking thing stolen, ripped right off of fucking Back to the Future. Now, the high school colors are blue and white, and the stage is exactly blue and white, and kind of like silver. Does that remind you of anything? Yeah, exactly. The fucking part in the movie where Michael J. Fox is at the high school playing with the band. It looks exactly the same, like the exact same set, ripped right off of it. I'm dead serious. What a bunch of fucking narcs. I mean, fucking tards to actually, like, you know, rip something right off of another popular movie. Asinine. So he plays the music synthesizer, or what he thinks is the music synthesizer, during the sound check, and he's like, I don't know, I don't think we should turn this in the police. Maybe I should just go to the music shop. You stay here, Julie. So Kevin goes off to the fucking music shop to go meet up with this dude that's, like, about as cool as Steve Urkel named Charlie. I mean, seriously, I'd rather talk to Charlie Chan than fucking hang out with this doofus. I mean, this kid's a total dork and a loser. So, anyways, he goes to the music shop and he shows Charlie, but we'll get back to that in a second. Meanwhile, Julie is getting her ass kicked because Skeletor sends off these four evil henchmen called Beastman, Sarud, Blade, and Karg. So, I think Sarud is like this lizard man, you know, and my idea behind that was, the lizard man kind of reminds me of the toy, like, the He-Man toy where, like, you flip it, it's like a normal man at first, and then you flip it to the other side, and it's like an evil, like, disgusting lizard dude. That's who I'm guessing. Or it could have been that purple lizard guy. Like, it's just too hard to tell because it looks nothing like any type of villain you've ever seen in He-Man. Beastman actually kind of looks like Beastman. I mean, that was pretty easy to do. Blade actually looks sweet. He kind of pretty cool. I like the way he looks. He kind of looks exactly like Blade from the cartoon series. But Karg, he fucking looks retarded. I've never seen Karg on He-Man before, and he looks like shit. He just looks like some fucking mongroid or something, you know, like Mongoloid off of Thundercats or something. They probably ripped it right off of Thundercats, honestly, with that costume. What a bunch of idiots. So, they basically have two villains that look the same. I mean, two lizard men. How fucking lame. Two lizard men, a beast man, and a kind of a cool villain. And that's about the only cool villain is Blade. So, they're off looking for the lock key, and they track its coordinates to the gym. Meanwhile, they're going after Julie, but they find this, like, gym teacher or something, and they just, like, decide to kick the shit out of him, and they're like, where's the lock gate key? And, like, he doesn't fucking know, so Beastman, like, just gouges him, like, in a gazillion spots and, like, tears him to shreds. It's actually kind of funny. And they just, like, throw him completely over the wall and stuff and just kick the shit out of him. I mean, like, you know, like a bully at school would. So that's actually kind of funny. And then they chase Julie all around. And so switching back to the part with Charlie and Kevin, at the music shop, they're kind of going over what this music synthesizer is. So, this fucknut, Charlie, goes, "Oh, I think I've seen this before. It's Japanese." Yeah, I'm pretty sure a local fucking dipshit like you at a music shop. I mean, why would you even trust a local music shop guy? Taking it down to the local music shop. I mean, wouldn't you want to take something like this to the police? Wouldn't that be your initial reaction? Taking it to the police? I don't know. Or having someone much more intelligent than a local music shop guy. That'd be like me taking, you know, like a, you know, priceless antiques, Now, like, priceless antique, like, complicated machine to a music shop guy and getting his idea on it. Or that'd be like me trying to get appraised, ancient painting or an ancient artifact of music from a local shop guy. Like, what the fuck would they know? A fucking dipshit teenager that runs a music shop. What the hell is he gonna know about something that unlocks the universe? I mean, it's just fucking illogical. Like, why would you take it to him? What a dumbass Kevin is. So he asked him, and he's like, I think I've seen it before. It's Japanese. Yeah, it's Japanese, alright. And fucking, it would have been funny if the music synthesizer would have played, I'm turning Japanese, I really think so. Like, after, like, he touched the button, that would have made it even funnier. So, anyways, like I was saying, Charlie goes, oh no, I definitely haven't seen this before. So, meanwhile, flipping back again, kind of two split scenes here. Julie is being run down by these, four renegades and their little army, and they get overrun by He-Man, Man of Arms, and Teela, and they help protect Julie, and they kick the shit out of them. So, anyways, they go back, the Skeletor, and then eventually, a cop comes by the high school. Well, on his way back, Kevin hears of the high school, like, burning down, like, on the radio, and, actually on the police scanner. So, because they look at outside, and, Charlie goes, looks like hell's breaking loose, let's, check it out. So he puts it on his police scanner, and Kevin goes into the building, and kind of tries and sees what's going on. Well, the police won't let him there, and sure enough, the same guy that plays a dickhead police officer in every film, Detective Lubick, says he can't go in there, and he's like, hey, I'm looking for my girlfriend, Kevin says. So he starts writing it down, Detective Lubick, doing what a normal detective should when you're describing somebody, and Kevin goes, aren't you doing your job? You should be looking for it. He starts, like, fucking flipping out on the detective. Well, I think that's pretty fucking rude. I mean, at least the guy was taking down notes on his pen pad to look for, and I'm pretty sure he was gonna look for her. So, instead of that, Detective Lubick throws him in the police vehicle, Kevin, and they drive to Julie's house. Well, of course, Julie isn't there, but she calls on a payphone as soon as they get there, and what happens is, he shows Detective Lubick this music synthesizer, and it's kind of funny because the task force of Skeletor, try and, use this, like, GPS, like, huge device to find out where the lock key is and the coordinates, so they end up finding it because it had been unlocked. So, with that said, Julie calls them, and Kevin doesn't tell Detective Lubick that he just talked to Julie. So, anyways, they're just kind of hanging out and chilling, and, sure enough, it's kind of funny because the funniest part of the movie's coming up real quick. Well, Kevin puts in this chicken, okay, and he puts it into the mic, and wouldn't it be cool if you were able to accomplish this? Well, one of Skeletor's men who finds the location of the lock key, actually hits a button from another universe using his device and blows up the fucking microwave and goes, boom! And it was sweet. I mean, it just instantly, like, explodes. And it looks like a real explosion, too. It's pretty sweet. So, like, all this fire's everywhere. Well, let me compare it to this. I mean, wouldn't it be cool, like, if you could, you know, do that to, like, you know, someone you hated? Like, just get, like, a GPS navigator, find out where they're at, and, like, make them explode. You know? Like, or it's kind of like using a one-for-all remote and, like, being able to control shit, you know, like, control TVs. I mean, honestly, I used to program, like, TVs with my one-for-all remote, turn them up real loud, and people used to get pissed off all the time and go, whoa, there's ghosts, ah! It was good times doing that. So, with that said, I just thought that was kind of funny that you can, you know, use a kind of like a big, like, you know, boxy controller thing, almost like a GPS to, like, blow up electronics, like people's electronics. That was pretty sweet. So, the microwave blows up, and, like, the cop starts freaking out, and he's like, alright, I'm going to see if your story checks out, since you took this music synthesizer to Charlie. So he goes back to Charlie's music shop for whatever reason, the detective, and Kevin stays there. Well, all these henchmen show up at Kevin's house and start kicking the shit out of him, and this time they have more men, because Skeletor gave him more men. Only he blasted the fucking lizard dude. He put him to shame. He just, like, disintegrated the sumbitch. He's like, fuck you, you didn't do what I asked you to do, and now you're gonna get disintegrated. And he just, like, it's kind of funny, because it's in, like, orange disintegration, you know. It was kind of funny to watch. So, after that, the Beast Man, like, starts fucking wailing on him, and, then they stick this, like, necklace, kind of like this neck brace on him, and it makes him tell the truth. Don't you wish you had a device that did that? I mean, couldn't sneak up on a director, like, in the middle of the night, and then put on a neck brace that, like, hypnotizes them, and they answer every question that you want. Like, is this next movie gonna suck? And then they'll say, yes. Like, I wish I could have had that for this film, because I would have fucking put it on this director, so I wouldn't have to watch this shitty film. So, like, I mean, I wish I could put that on everybody, like, every, you know, fucking cheating wife, or, you know, every, you know, cheating, you know, patriot, or every cheating, and New England patriots, I mean, or, you know, just find out the truth of things, you know, or stick it on, like, Obama, and, you know, start going, do you really care about healthcare? Or stick it on McCain and go, do you really care about education? You know, so, it'd be kind of cool to do that. I mean, too bad we couldn't have done that to Bush. Maybe we would have found out a hell of a lot sooner that this guy was a complete jackass. So, with that said, going back to the story, they find out where the lock key is because he had to tell them. So, they start, they go to the music shop where the detective is, but luckily, somehow, some way, using this pink Cadillac, this, Wilbur character, or Gildor character, swoops up. They drive up, and we all know what pink is for. Pink is for pussies. Attention, pink is for pussies. So, they drive in this pink Cadillac, and they're driving down the street, and it's kind of funny, because it looks like something like a Mac Daddy would drive. Na, 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 na. Ho, ho, sly, sly, slippity, sly. So, they drive off in this pink Cadillac, and they get there before Skeletor's henchmen do, and they kind of set the place up because they know that they're in trouble unless Gildor can get the exact coordinates of, you know, getting back to Grayskull Castle where the sorceress is. So they're on the run and they're just trying to blast away, and pretty much the henchmen show up again. And the stupid thing is this. Well, He-Man asks Kevin and Jolie and the detective and Charlie to hang out and Gildor to punch in the coordinates. They're hiding in the back room, and anyways, what happens is this. Tila has to go off and help He-Man and Man-at-Arms fight. So she asks Kevin to kind of hold a gun to the detective so he doesn't try and pull anything. So the detective and him start a fight, and all hell breaks loose. Next thing you know, Jolie sees a reflection of her mom, and it's actually put forth through by Evelyn. Well, of course, Jolie, being the idiot she is, runs out to her mom because she thinks it's her mom. Now, let me get this straight. Wouldn't you be a little bit suspicious right away that if your mom was dead, you'd kind of, you know, not go? I don't know what I'd do. If I thought, I mean, if I knew my mom was dead and I saw her, I don't know if I'd exactly go out to her right away. I mean, I guess I would. But surely I wouldn't do this. Okay, well, the mom asked for the lock key. Now, wouldn't you be a little bit suspicious and ask, how the fuck do you know about the lock key? Well, she gives her the lock key, Jolie, without any fucking questions asked. Without any questions asked at all. Like, that'd be like, give me the, you know, ingredients to make an atom bomb. And, like, beforehand, your mom would have, like, no fucking idea how or what an atom bomb was. You know, it'd be kind of like that. You'd be kind of suspicious about it. At least I would be. I wouldn't just hand it to my fucking mom. Well, sure enough, it's Evelyn, and she finds out, Jolie finds out it was, and she takes the locket key with her. So Skeletor comes down with his evil henchmen, and they end up capturing He-Man, and it looks all but over. So He-Man's captive, and Skeletor is there, and, you know, he kind of barks out his orders as usual, and, you know, they're just kind of in limbo right there, you know? So they figure out that they go back to Planet Grayskull, and He-Man spares their lives. Well, let me tell you this. This is the fucking retarded part. Anyways, they find this idea, alright, and it just seems kind of funny. First of all, Gildor describes to Kevin that there are musical patterns in the locket key so that they can make a new locket key. And if they knew the song pattern, then they would know. And he's like, Kevin's like, I got it. He's like, da-da-da-da. I can't think without this fucking background music. And sure enough, Tila blows away the fucking speaker-looking foghorn thing that's, like, up there. Like, when have you ever seen in a movie theme background music get shot by another actor, like, shot up in the film because the actor couldn't concentrate on the, you know, on what they were trying to think about? How many times have you ever seen that happen? Never. I mean, you've never seen the background theme music for a movie ever get shot down. I just found that to be pretty surprising and pretty shocking. Also pretty shitty. So, with that said, he figures it out, and they build together a locket key that helps him. And sure enough, Skeletor's henchmen were sent back to destroy Teela, Man of Arms, and Gildor and Kevin. Well, it's kind of funny because the cop shows up with all these policemen, and he keeps on trying to say, listen, listen, there's an army, and you gotta see all this, and blah, blah, blah. They start laughing at the detective, telling him that he's, you know, lost his marbles. And I'd probably do the same thing. I'd be like, you're a dumbass. You need to go to sleep, pal. So, anyways, the stupidest part of the movie comes right here. Well, while Skeletor's army is kind of like shooting out at, you know, Man of Arms and T-Bug and Kevin and Gildor, meanwhile, you know, they're getting all shot at, well, the detective starts fighting with them, and the locket key, well, the locket key sets, and they go into a whole different universe. So, guess what it brings back, though? And this is my problem, okay? Normally, it would just transport people, correct? I mean, this whole entire time, I've been telling you it's been transporting people. No, this time, it fucking transports, like, half of a brick wall and half of a fucking, of that same piece of shit pink Cadillac that idiot Wilbur, or Gilbert, has been, you know, chucking around. Meanwhile, Gilbert in this film, or whatever the hell his name is, Gildor, he's been, you know, fucking cross-dressing in this movie, too, and that kind of got me worried. I mean, he's been kind of wearing Julie's clothes and shit. Well, it turns out that Julie got kind of shot at by Skeletor when she was trying to save He-Man from being captured. And, I mean, that's just, in itself, a pathetic effort. I mean, that's like trying to ask, you know, a five-year-old to beat up a, you know, a gangster or something, you know, and going, no, don't shoot him. I mean, it's just not going to work. It's not going to save you. Well, anyways, her fetal attempt caused her, you know, Skeletor to shoot her, like, in the leg, and it kind of, like, burned through her leg, apparently, and started some type of virus or something to kill her. Well, sure enough, they were taking care of her so that they could get to the, sorceress, so she could be normal again. So, anyways, they show up with the locket key, it takes them all back, all of them, and it takes, this is what it also takes, and this is why it makes no sense, half of that pink fucking Cadillac and half of a brick wall. Okay, how come that didn't happen in any of the other scenes? Like, why didn't it take back, you know, some other objects? What a piece of shit. You mean to tell me that, you know, like, if it's one thing I hate, it's inconsistency in movies. Like, that's just totally fucking inconsistent. I mean, there's no button around it. So, anyways, they managed to, like, you know, it's kind of funny because it looks like they're shooting from another stage or something, like, in the movie. Like, almost, like, they didn't have enough money to, like, clear the stage off in time or something. So, it's just, like, a stage full of shit. Well, anyways, the brick wall, they're kind of hiding behind the car in the brick wall to resist fire, and He-Man gets free, and what happens is this, Skeletor already took He-Man's sword, stuck it into the chair to make himself, you know, the master of the universe. Well, He-Man and Skeletor end up fighting to the point where he knocks the power out of him, the universe's power. Well, sure enough, this corridor kind of looks familiar. Kind of reminds me of Star Wars. And if you watch this film, you'll notice that too. I mean, again, that's the third time they've had to fucking steal something or an idea from a movie. I mean, come on, this is just fucking ridiculous. It's bullshit. I mean, this fucking director can suck my cock, okay? He is a douchebag. I mean, unbelievable fucking douchebag. He deserves to drown in fucking the vinegar that, you know, goes into making a douche. So, like, I mean, come on. Like, oh, God. It drives me insane. Like, I just want to smash this DVD so bad already. I mean, stealing other people's ideas. I mean, at least Warriors of the Wasteland had their own ideas. You didn't see them stealing anybody else's ideas. Although it was a shitty film, and man, I would never watch it again in my lifetime, at least they had the common decency not to steal other people's ideas. I mean, it's just like, don't do it. I mean, if you don't have any other ideas, come up with your own ideas. I mean, it's not that hard to, you know, apply a research team into a movie. It really isn't. So, with that said, like, this corridor, it looks exactly like in Star Wars, Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. So, He-Man throws down Skeletor, and what scene does that remind you of? Exactly the scene, similar to the same scene in, Star Wars Episode 6, The Jedi, The Return of the Jedi. So, like, it kind of reminds you of, you know, Palpatine, or I should say the Sith Lord, being thrown off the balcony by Darth Vader. It's just totally fucking cliche at that point, you know? I mean, it was new back then, but at this point, it's totally cliche to throw somebody down and, you know, have them implode. So, anyways, I just don't like any of the ending ideas. And, you know, another thing, by the end of the film, you don't even get to see the sorceress's powers heal Courtney Cox's character, Jolie. Like, I wanted to see the sorceress's powers. I mean, that would have been cool. I mean, come on. Like, how hard was it to cut to a scene where she kind of heals her, you know? You kind of, even though it's a little cheesy, I know, and it would have been cliche, it still would have been cool to see the sorceress's powers. I mean, come on. You make it seem like the fucking sorceress is, like, the weakest, you know, butt cake on the face of the earth, you know, like she doesn't have any powers at all. I mean, jeez, like, she's just this old, you know, frail woman that deserves to be in a retirement home or something, you know. And, I mean, the last time I checked, the fucking sorceress in He-Man was able to kick some serious ass on Skeletor. So, after that, you know, the ending, it's kind of retarded too. Well, Gildor comes up with this idea to have him go home, and sure enough, the detective, he kind of cracks me up. He's like, you know what, this is my retirement. He's like, I got a hot woman too, so you know what, I'm just going to stay on this planet. So, Kevin and Julie decide to go home, and sure enough, he said, you can go anywhere. You can go to the past, present, future, blah, blah, blah. Well, sure enough, they go back to Earth, only it's to the past right before her parents take the flight of, you know, that leads to their death. Now, okay, I'm sorry, but isn't that kind of changing history? And don't you think that would fuck things up in the, you know, trans universe? I mean, this would piss off, Doc from Back to the Future big time. I mean, this would definitely piss off the Doc. I mean, you'd have a fucking catastrophe here. if that happens. I mean, man, I don't know. So, if it's anything like, you know, if Back to the Future is correct on how the, you know, if you fuck with the past, then, you know, everything's all screwed up, well, I would probably have to say that things are definitely going to screw up eventually. So, you know, maybe that could have left the door open for Masters of the Universe 2. I don't know. But they never did make another one. And now, after doing this movie, like I said, there's just three points that hit home as to why this movie was just such a fucking complete disaster. I mean, one, Skeletor looks like shit. It looks more like Styrofoam Tor. Two, you know, the sword fighting scenes are just retarded, and they're just playing laser tag the entire time. I mean, like, there's only one real decent sword fighting scene, and that's the end, where Skeletor and, you know, He-Man are going at it. I wanted to see more fucking sword fighting. I mean, not a bunch of laser tag going back and forth. I mean, if I wanted to go, you know, watch that, I'd go watch people at fucking, you know, laser tag, like, in bowling alleys play that shit. I mean, I don't want to watch that, or, you know, or I'd go play paintball for a while and, you know, do it that way, or, you know, go get one of those, toy, you know, laser gun things, or go watch Star Trek for a while and watch them shoot lasers with their, you know, phaser guns, or whatever the hell you call them. So, no, I didn't really like that at all. And three, another failure is to get fucking at least Frasier in the film. I understand about Orko, okay, maybe you couldn't have his, you know, magician-like powers in the film. Maybe that was too much for the budget. But there is no fucking way you can tell me you couldn't get a trained tiger into the film like Frasier. There are no way. There are some awesome tigers out there that know. There are really good fucking stunt tigers. I mean, and okay, maybe it didn't have to be green and gold, but I would have, you know, settled on a Siberian tiger. We all know about Siberian tigers. So, with that said, those were just some of the things I really had a problem with, and why this movie is just such a disaster. It's a real shame, too. I mean, He-Man was the shit. And now they're going to come out with a new film in 2009 called Masters of the Universe. But it's not going to be live action. It's going to be more like, kind of like the series, the short, skittish series that happened on Cartoon Network that they tried. It just really wasn't working because the idea of He-Man is completely dead. Well, that's it. All for today. You've been listening to the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery, and have a nice day.